welcome to this week's episode of Layoffs and Other L Words. I'm your host, Michelle Morocco, and this week, the lovely Rebecca is out of town traveling the world because she's super cool, and I am joined by Michelle Krasny, life coach extraordinaire.
I'm putting that on my business cards now.
I hope you do. I really do. So for a little context, Michelle Krasny and I met two Michelles. This is going to be confusing for folks.
Okay, I'll remember who I am.
Great, I'll try. I make no promises. So Michelle and I met 2-3 years ago?
Sure.
Something like that?
Yeah.
And she was my life coach for a little while when I was in this sort of transition period. I had been working at the Regional Commission and was debating if I should find a new job or start a business or teach music lessons full time or become the director of the Lightning Jar. Not dissimilar to where I am now, except I was then employed. And you so gracefully helped me through that. Just every week, like, what if I did this? What about this?
Yeah. I mean, having a lot of options can be as paralyzing as feeling like you have none.
Yes, I'm familiar with that. So Michelle, can you tell us a little bit about your brand of life coaching and what that means?
So I call myself a career coach, which is under the umbrella of life coaching. So there are people who focus on all different parts of life coaching. There are people who will help you with your marriage, your relationship, or your health, or I don't know. There's a whole bunch of specialties. I like career coaching because that's what I'm passionate about. It's also an area that I have a lot of personal experience in, both succeeding and way more failing. but it's an area that I'm deeply passionate about, both as an issue and experience. So I've gotten to work with a lot of really cool people in that capacity. And I don't know. How much more of an intro to life coaching do you want?
I mean, that sounds great.
All right, cool.
Okay, we didn't discuss this beforehand. Question.
Shoot.
This might be a hard question. I don't know. If you had to give one piece of advice to folks who are looking for a job or looking for a career, let's say that, or looking to make a change, those are all different scenarios.
In coaching, we call this stacking questions.
we'll be specific here. Okay. For folks looking to make a change in their career, what would your piece of advice be?
So I get to give a really obnoxious answer to that first, but then I'll give you a real one. So the obnoxious one is coaches don't give advice.
That's so true. That's what you told me. He's like, what do you want? Doesn't matter what I think.
Totally.
Just tell me what to do.
Right. It is my job to help you figure out what you think. So, but not in this context. So let's see. My advice to somebody who's looking to make a change in their career. One piece is hard. I have lots of thoughts.
Three.
Oh, okay. I could probably do three. So the first thing I think somebody has to sit with and think about is why. If you're reacting to something like a bad boss or a bad salary or a significant life event, reaction is never like your most thoughtful, intentional place to be coming from. And chances are if you make a change out of reaction to something, then you're going to be in a position of not being happy in another 6 months or a year. You're going to be looking to change again. Don't come at it, like, ask yourself why you want to change. And if it's because of reaction, try to take a beat, deal with what you're reacting to, and then try to approach it more intentionally.
I'm writing these down because that was very deep.
Thank you. I'm like, geez, what are two or three going to be?
I mean, it could be just the one, right? That was where we started.
I can pull more. Wherever. So advice if you're making a change would be to approach it not as if it's a test that you can fail or a test of you as a human being, but as an experiment. Mm-hmm. So can I tell a personal story to illustrate that?
Yes, please do.
Okay. I'll tell you about a time I failed. So I got out of this fellowship and I was like all high on life and I thought I was hot shit and could do no wrong and entered. I had this hypothesis that I could work in a certain field in a certain way and just kind of threw all of my energy into it. And I did things so differently than I would do them now, but I kind of felt that if I didn't succeed at this, I was a failure and I was letting everyone who'd believed in me during my fellowship down and that I couldn't leave. I was in Chicago. If I left Chicago, that I would be a failure. If I couldn't get a job in this field, then I was a failure. So I turned it into a test of myself rather than what it should have been, which was a test of this hypothesis. Mm-hmm. Can I get a job in this field, in this city? The answer was no. And that was okay.
Oh, yeah.
But instead of changing a variable, I just continued to beat myself up for not being good enough to make it work.
Okay, so it's be willing to change your variables.
Yeah, see it as an experiment. Because if it's an experiment you're evaluating rather than yourself, it doesn't matter if you have to change things or if it fails.
Right, because you are the constant in these equations.
Yeah, you're the awesome, wonderful you.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to succeed at something, just maybe not this first hypothesis.
Oh, that's such a relief. That's like really lovely.
Yeah, no, of course you're going to succeed at something. There's something out there that is waiting for you to find it.
That's exciting and terrifying.
Yeah, but that means all you have to do is keep looking.
Mm-hmm.
Which.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, keep showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The hard part is to keep. That's the other thing, is any sort of change. This is going to be my number three. Yay. Any change is important to look at as a marathon, not a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
So change is hard and it asks a lot of us and a lot of our resources. We're usually outside of our comfort zone. We're doing something that isn't easy and takes a lot of resources. In your earlier episodes, I heard your partner, Rebecca, kept saying she needed more willpower.
Mm-hmm.
But everything in life right now is hard and new and there's a ton of emotion along with it. So like there's a finite number of resources that we have and they deplete. Where was I going with this?
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes, it's a marathon, not a sprint. See, it directly applies. Normally I take more notes when I'm talking.
Fine.
So yeah, they deplete. So the expectation that you be able to run as fast as you can every day is completely ridiculous. Like you're going to tire out. So you have to look at it like you would a marathon. Like, okay, well, what's a reasonable amount that I can do today? How do I respect that a lot of this was new? And a lot of this had a huge emotional weight to it and ask a little less of myself and be okay that I, you know, want to take a break and eat M&Ms and watch trash TV and or read fan fiction. I think she was talking about.
Yeah. No, she loves
okay. Totally okay.
Did I tell you, I don't remember when I last saw you, maybe I was talking about it on the podcast. When I was sick a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
There were a few things I needed to do, even though I was sick. And I think my like feel good moment of that week had been that I allowed myself to rest,
mm-hmm.
like, be sick and not feel like I needed to do 8 million things, mm-hmm. which is, as you know, having been my coach, is my struggle that I want to do. I want to be hyper productive every single day, which is exhausting. And so my strategy that day had been to write a draft, watch an episode of Good Girls, edit the draft, watch an episode of Good Girls. I think I did one other thing that day because I only had three things I had to do.
Wonderful.
And then I watched another episode and then I was like, should I do something else? And I just was sitting on the couch with the flu. Like, no, I'm just going to binge the rest of the show. Yeah. And it was amazing.
Three hard things a day is plenty.
Yeah.
Totally. And that's another thing a lot of people do is they have this feeling, I'm not doing enough.
Mm.
So they do everything. So it's not just you. It's very common. But when you do everything, you don't do any one thing well or with all your energy or all your attention.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but it's a common way to kind of combat that feeling that I'm not succeeding.
Ugh. Yeah. All right. So, recapping here.
Yes.
Michelle Krasny's advice for folks looking to change careers. First is to consider why you're doing it and try not to do it in reaction to something, to be more thoughtful and intentional. Second is to consider it an experiment where you're changing your variables, and it's not about whether or not you are a failure. It's about whether or not this thing will work. Mm-hmm. And then the third is to be patient. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Those sound good.
Yeah, I would stick with those even if I'd prepared them.
Great. I invited you on the show today. Something that Rebecca and I talked about last time, my goal had been to schedule informational interviews with folks in the area that design prosthetics. And I will admit, I did not do it because this podcast is my accountability platform. Right? Like, I use this as a way to force myself to do the things I say I'll do. And I knew that Rebecca was going out of town. And so I didn't get around to it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like resisting the urge to coach you right now.
I appreciate that. But also thought about it the other day. I was like, I could just make those calls, right? But it's also super convenient that I'm talking to you now and we can talk about informational interviews before I schedule them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I make great excuses.
Rationalization is a skill.
Well, on your website, you have videos. You just did a video series about job searches and all of these skills, which I highly recommend to anyone listening. I will add some links in our descriptions in case anyone is interested.
Awesome.
But one of them was all about informational interviews. So, I would like to stop talking, so I'm going to ask you, can you describe an informational interview for us?
So I like to think of them as my superpower because the first time I discovered them, I was like, well, this is magic. Why haven't I been doing this the whole time? Why did I ever look at a job board? They're the worst. Like, you want me to rant for about 20 minutes, like, get me talking about job boards. My little soapbox issue. One of them. So an informational interview is basically a conversation with a person who knows something you don't know. That's it.
So talking to anyone ever.
Basically talking to anybody ever who knows something you don't know that you want to know also might be.
That's a key detail, actually. I can talk to my brother all day about how to, actually, it's kind of interesting. He's going to buy and sell a car. He flips cars, which is kind of interesting. But okay, better example. I can talk to him all day about the technical differences between two models of a car, and I literally don't care. But he will talk for hours.
So somebody who knows something you want to know.
Yeah.
So most often people use it in the context of they're trying to learn about a field that they don't know anything about or a position that they don't know anything about, or they're actively looking for work and they're trying to learn about specific roles at specific companies.
Mm-hmm. So if we were to use some concrete examples, very selfishly,
No reason.
Right? So the things I'm thinking about right now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's always like 10. Uh-huh. But
some of them.
Yeah. Some of them are designing prosthetics, mm-hmm. And urban design, right? So my sister is currently finishing her master's in urban planning. I was once a community planner. Like, I have some history in planning.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really actually interested in the design aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
and how to integrate green infrastructure. Like, I swoon for Tesla, I'm not going to lie. Like, solar panel tiles for your roof. It's just, come on, we can do this. It's not that hard. Mm-hmm. It is a little expensive. but making that more accessible. You know, like you, there are countries that are putting solar panels in their roads. There's this really cool, I don't think it didn't actually happen. It's like designed for the future, or like vision of a city mm-hmm. designed around bicycles, mm-hmm. where there's like underground tunnels for your bike, and then there's a bike elevator up the buildings. I'm like, it's very cool. But it's all very energy efficient, human-centered. I'm into that.
I've been with clients all day, so I'm having trouble like switching my mindset. So I'm like taking notes about like about you and questions I would ask and stuff like that. But
well, what would you ask?
The note that I wrote was noticing that you've shifted from sort of more less concrete work of community design and human management mm-hmm. into extremely concrete problem solving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really, I've had this conversation so many times recently, like every time you have it, you learn a little bit more about what you're trying to say. Mm-hmm. Like I've always liked problem solving, and the frustration I've had with jobs that I've had in the last 5 years or so is that they're super, not cerebral, but they're this sort of subjective work. Yeah. It's a lot of program development and, mm-hmm. and touchy feely, like, what does community building mean? Mm-hmm. Right. And like it feels good. It's interesting work,
but it's hard to put your finger on what you did.
Yeah. It's hard to explain it.
Yeah.
And for me, that lacks a certain amount of satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Like I really do love technical concrete. Like I like touching stuff. Mm-hmm. And I miss that. I miss having, look, I did this. Mm-hmm. But still getting to use those problem solving skills.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're a classic problem solver.
Oh, I know. To a fault. Like, it's obnoxious.
We're going to fix the world. It's fine.
Oh, my God. John and I had a conversation this morning. It was a very brief conversation. But because I'm in all of this sort of like job career exploration thing, I was talking to him about whether or not I need to derive my personal value from my job, mm-hmm. right? Like, how much do I need to feel like my job is important and makes me special? Mm-hmm. I see you taking notes.
No, I can't help it.
And how much of it can it just be like, here's a job that pays for my food and my shelter and in my, the rest of my brain space and my time, because my job takes up only a portion of it. Mm-hmm. Do I get to do this sort of important life-changing work? Because part of what you're talking about is like, I do want to do something important, and I would love to be someone that has done something that like goes in a history book, mm-hmm. that like has changed something. Mm. And I asked John if he felt the need to, if he wants to have that kind of impact, if he felt the need to do something that people remember. Mm-hmm. And that way, and for him, he does it, mm-hmm. right? He does in a much humbler sense. He wants to be remembered as a good person, as someone who's kind, as someone who made those around him feel better about themselves. And like, he wants to have done something, but on a much smaller scale. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, I want to redesign our economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like you guys have very different definitions of success.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is good.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes no. I mean, yeah. It happens.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know any couples who have the same definition of success. Really? Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm a lot more ambitious than my husband.
Hmm.
Which is good, because I've dragged him all over the country, so like just following me.
I see that dynamic a lot, especially women being very ambitious mm-hmm. and their husbands or their partners kind of being like, I love you. This is cool. Yeah. You're great. You're going to do awesome things. I'm going to come with you.
Yeah. And he's very good at his job. He mm-hmm. is ambitious within his field and his position, but like, mm-hmm. yeah, that's mm-hmm. enough for him.
Yeah.
Granted, I don't want to change the economy, so.
Oh, I totally do.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's that's why I'm glad there are people like you too. It's all a spectrum. I could admire others on the spectrum without needing to be them.
That's true. Yeah. I'm now trying to think of people that I know that are more ambitious than I am, or like are further on that spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Like what I know they exist, like Obama.
You're up there.
Yeah, I know, but like I don't really want to be a world leader.
I didn't mean you were like Obama. I meant you were like extreme on the ambitious.
No, I figured.
Scale. Yeah.
I wish I was like Obama. Yeah. Although I also leave my clothes on the floor. Have you read Becoming?
No. Does he not leave his clothes on the floor?
He does.
Okay.
That's a thing that
makes him human.
Michelle writes about is how she's a neat freak and he is not. And just like leaves his clothes in a pile. And I'm like, yes, there is hope for me. That was literally my reaction. Like I was reading it in bed and then he put it down and I'm like, yes!
Not a failure as a human because I don't pick up my clothes.
Yeah.
So. I'm Marie Kondo'd my entire closet and it is gorgeous and amazing, but there is a pile of just crap in the corner that I don't deal with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
We've gone way off topic.
Yeah, we have. It's okay. We were talking about informational interviews.
Oh, yeah. You said selfishly, and you were interested in prosthetics and urban design.
Yeah.
So what was the question?
If I call them tomorrow and I make these appointments, right, my assumption and the things that I would think of to do,
mm-hmm.
right, like I want to research the field, I want to research the person, which is unnatural for me. I don't usually look people up before I meet them because then I have no questions to ask them when I see them. Like I know all the answers. And I try not to do that. But I would want to know what their specialty is and what things they design. And then I want to look up the company they work for. That seems relevant. Like what sorts of things does this company do? And once I've done that research, I would generally come up with a list of questions. Mm-hmm. What are the things I don't know about you and what you've done that I want to know?
Mm-hmm.
Does that seem pretty comprehensive?
Yeah. There's one thing I would add, which is how you choose who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
So who you're reaching out to. How do you choose?
Literally, there are three within an hour of me.
Individuals or companies?
Both. So I did the research on existing prosthetics in the region, and I don't think any of them actually do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's various career options and positions within the prosthetics industry, prosthetics and orthotics. There are folks that will fit prosthetics and orthotics so that they'll sit with the client and they'll help them adjust the leg or whatever it may be, or the brace, and like make minor adjustments and like switch out straps or help them pick which one is the best fit for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the technician who literally builds it, mm-hmm. which I think is cool, but not mm-hmm. quite where I want to end up. And then there's so I can never actually say the name of it. It's not prosthetician. It's I don't remember. And I always get it wrong. So I'm not.
Okay.
But then there's the person with the master's degree.
Not a prosthetician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who designs the orthotics and their prosthetics.
Okay.
Which is what I would like to do. But I would like to do it in a way that is very innovative. I want to do it different than it's currently being done. There's some folks who do it really well, obviously. Uh-huh. But like with an eye towards inclusivity, like the majority of prosthetics you find, if you need a prosthetic limb, mm-hmm. are going to come in that sort of like peachy pink color.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not your color.
That's the color we all are, right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Everyone on the planet.
And if you want one that's a different color, it's going to cost you more money probably because it's specially made,
mm-hmm.
Which is dumb, right? So like that's sort of really basic inclusivity, but then also like how do you get prosthetics that are more comfortable and more functional at a more affordable price, so that then you start talking about materials that you choose and systems and how, like your process, right? Mm-hmm. And how do you make your process more efficient?
But so that's you're not looking to solve the problem of how do you replace a limb. You're looking to solve the problem of how do you do it inclusively, equitably. Was there another one?
Yeah. No, that's true. Both of those, but also in a way that is more attractive.
Yeah. And sexy. Right? Yeah. Let's go with that.
Because we have a lot of technology. We are now at the point where many prosthetics have this sort of electrode, whatever it is that connects, so that then you can use the hand instead of just have something to fill your sleeve out. That I'm interested in. But then there's a video of she's a ballerina, she's a dancer who has a prosthetic leg. Have you seen these?
Not that one, no.
I'm gonna have to find it.
Yay.
But she,
link in the comments kind of thing?
Yeah. there's a video of her dancing and one of her legs, and she's got a prosthetic, but it's this metal cone from almost from the hip joint all the way down. It comes down to a point, a sharp point.
So it's very functional and very different.
Yeah. Well, it's actually not functional at all.
For dancing as a ballerina in that video.
But yeah, it was certainly something made specifically for her as a statement, as a piece of art. And I don't imagine that'd be most of what I do, but to do it occasionally, to have that option, that is, it's just really fascinating.
So what is your question for, what's your goal for this informational interview?
Oh, okay. That's smart. So I'm thinking I would I want to know that I'm looking in the right field. Is this actually what I'm talking about? What I want to do with it? Prosthetics design, or is it something else? Because originally I was talking about industrial design, and then I thought about why I was interested in it, that led me to these more specific fields. I want to know if I'm looking at the right field, and I know for both of these, I'd have to get a master's, right? If my assumptions are correct. I would love to know if there's someone who does this, does what I'm talking about, and how did they get to doing that, right? Did they get the master's in prosthetics and orthotics, or did they get a design degree in art?
I keep having to flip out of coaching mode. So I was going to ask you an open-ended question and have you answer yourself. But instead, I'm just going to give you my opinion, which is that, why are you limiting yourself to the people who live an hour from you?
It's a good question.
Your goal here is not to get a job, in which case it would make sense.
Yeah.
It's to have some questions answered, and ones that are probably going to be better answered by people who are more innovative in their field.
It was a shortcut.
Yeah.
Right. So it's these people are close to me. And so the potential list of people I can talk to is a little overwhelming. So saying well, what about right around here? If I can talk to these people, maybe they can point me to someone else who does it. Maybe they can't, but maybe they can. And there's something else that I just forgot. Why limit myself to within an hour? Oh, and part of it is just I prefer to talk to people I can see.
So you want to go physically meet them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
and to see the places where they work.
Okay. So then getting back to kind of how you decide who you're speaking to at these companies, yeah, also kind of connects to what you were saying about like not wanting to research people because you don't want all the answers.
Uh-huh.
But imagine like about how many people work at these companies.
Depends. Some of them are like a couple hundred. Most of the ones I was looking at are like probably 10 to 15.
Okay. So imagine there's probably like 4 people there you could potentially get the information you want from.
Mm-hmm.
I would Google the crap out of them. I'm a good, big fan of like a good digital stalk before you meet somebody,
mm-hmm,
with specific emphasis on things that they have written or like opinions that they put out in the world and see who's the most innovative and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like who wrote an interesting master's paper that they put online about how the integration of prosthetics into art.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause maybe they did. You don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a way to use that knowledge in a way that you're then going to be able to go in and have the exact conversation you want to be able to have.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of stacking the deck in your favor.
Yeah.
You know, this is the right person to be talking to. And there's no way you know every answer to every question going in because you've done some research. If that's true, you're not asking good questions. And I know that's not the case.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm taking a note here. So with an emphasis on what opinions they have and what things they may have written.
Yeah. Which I would say to anybody, if you're trying to use this to get a job or you're trying to use this just to learn about a thing, is like look up what this person has put out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of an aside. Editing on the fly. My own thoughts. But yeah, it's a great shortcut to making sure that you're speaking to somebody who you want to be speaking to.
Yeah, that's a really valid point, and that feels like a necessary component that I wasn't thinking about.
But I think finding a limit makes a lot of sense because there's a lot of people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so with that, I feel like going back and doing some more research to figure out which companies and who they're does what I actually want to do. Because it's also very possible that I go and talk to these people and they would be someone who is on the less innovative side of the spectrum. And I would be like, no, that's not what I want. I'm looking for a place. Whereas if I talk to someone else, it would be really exciting.
Yeah. Or maybe you talk to somebody and they are as far out in innovation as they possibly could be. And you still, there's something that turns you off about it, but at least you don't have that thought in the back of your head. Like maybe it's just that they weren't innovative enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a true test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Good experiments. It's about quality experiments.
Yeah. Quality. Yeah. That's real. Quality experiments.
And when it comes to asking good questions, like I think I've got some tips in the video and there's like an article that goes with it, but I'll ask for, when in doubt, ask for a story.
Ooh, that's also a good tip. All right. So I think that's just about all the time we have today.
Awesome.
I would love to end it by inviting you to join in our goal setting activities we do. So every week, Rebecca and I will pick something we'd like to accomplish this week. I try to keep the things very achievable, very small, very specific, so that I set myself up for success. And then we usually will follow up the next week. You don't need to follow up, but I can follow up with you and report out.
Do you know how to find me?
I do know how to find you, yeah. So I can start.
Please.
My goal for this week is, I'm gonna go a step backward. I'm gonna say my goal for this week is to do the research and pick, should I pick a number?
Like numbers
five
are good.
People?
To research?
Yeah. Or five people. So I'm thinking, so I've done the research and pick 5 people to reach out to, maybe 3 to reach out to.
Okay. So five. Research on 5, 3 to reach out to?
Yeah. Maybe if I research 5 people, I won't get 3 to reach out to.
Gotcha. Okay.
Although, yeah. So I'm going to say research and find 3 people to reach out to. by next time.
Can I ask you a coaching question?
Yeah, I was like, you are the master of goal setting here.
So no, what I like about that is it is a SMART goal. It's specific, measurable. I assume that it fits into your life and you know when it's due. So A+. The question that I would ask is, what could get in your way?
Ooh, oh, that's a nice, so what could get in my way? Overwhelm. Overwhelm is really what I'm worried about, is that there's just a massive pool of people. And how do I start to research that? Mm-hmm. How do I narrow it down enough where I can actually understand any information?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Can I just like suggest a thing?
Please do. Yeah.
This is so different than coaching. Is there a program that is known for teaching this stuff very well? Or a school?
Oh, that's a super...
At their alum might be a good place to start.
Yeah, that's really smart. I was doing it sort of in the reverse. I know that there's like 8 specific programs in the country that are accredited through the national organization, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was looking at companies before looking at programs.
Mm-hmm.
And if I flip that, I can then look at alum.
Mm-hmm. And see, I mean, you will get a pretty biased answer to the question of what kind of degree do you need, but it's a place to start.
Right.
Okay. Or if there's awards for,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that can be a great way to kind of pick a company or two to start with.
Yeah, that's so basic or like foundational. Like, I know basic has a negative connotation, but it's so foundational, but it's just like very helpful. And I would not have thought of that.
It's so easy to be objective when you're not in the maelstrom of emotion and thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's my job.
Fair. Do you have a goal you'd like to set for this week?
Oh, I thought of one. And then, hang on. Is it cheating if I do one from my to-do list? But I was probably going to put it off.
I guess it's not cheating.
Okay, I'll do it. Which one? Okay, so I'm very bad about my newsletter in the sense that I have not sent one since last year. And by last year, I mean 2017.
Oh, darn.
I have some strong feelings about newsletters, but I've worked on it with my coach. It's been reframed. Now calling it the cool shitagram instead of the newsletter.
Ooh.
Right? I like it.
Yeah.
Or swear words are just a good
thing. Yeah, swear words always help.
Yeah. So I'm working on getting out my first one. I made a whole calendar. It's all scheduled, which will have... I know exactly what's going into it, but I have to actually sit down and do it. I've done half of it. I have to do the other half.
All right.
So I'm committing to actually doing my newsletter, not putting it off, doing it by the deadline that I picked, and making sure it's all in there and all pretty.
That sounds great.
And I will do it tomorrow because I have a 2-hour block.
Woo!
Yeah.
Great.
And nothing's going to get in my way because I put it in my calendar.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have a website?
Oh, I do. It's my name. Michelle Krasny. MichelleKrasny.com.
Great. Thank you again for joining us. This was fun. It's always great to catch up.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
All right. Until next time. Bye.